Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Final hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thank you for sharing part of your Wednesday with us. 1-800-636-8686. Phone calls taken selectively. Do have an opportunity for the potential for a call or two in 20 minutes because we backloaded the show. We'll wrap it up in 40 minutes, taking you across the NFL with Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports. Let's start hour number three, talking basketball with NBA players arriving at the bubble in Orlando. Let's say hello to an old friend. Always terrific analysis provided by Steve Kyler of BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, we've not chatted since December. How are you? How's your family been doing?
Family is great. However, I'm not comfortable with this rampant use of the phrase old.
Okay, how about a friendship with longevity?
Oh, much better. I don't feel as bad.
I'm hearing seasoning a lot. It's what they put in my hair to make me look a little bit better as now I'm pushing middle age and actually deep into it. Okay, because I love hoops as much as you do, I think everybody listening has been starved for basketball, thrilled just to have the notion of games being played. But you have high standards. What's your outlook for the quality of play when we start with the seeding games?
Yeah, that one's the big question. There are a couple things. One, I think because we're not going to have fans and the way this is going to be done, we're going to be able to have cameras closer to the game than we've ever had it. We're going to get angles you normally don't see, and you're going to understand why people pay $2,000 for a courtside seat. So I think you're going to experience the game better. Quality of play, look, this is a game that is about passion and emotion. Our favorite players are the ones that have exceeded expectation and have gotten the crowd on their feet. There's no crowd to get on the feet. How does that impact how certain players play? And I think about guys like Joel Embiid. I think about guys like Damian Lillard. I think about guys that really get juice from the crowd. Are they going to be able to manufacture that? So those are things I think are a big unknown. And then the fact that these are gyms most players have not played in, you know, unless you were an AAU star in the South Florida area, you probably weren't in any of these gyms. They're smaller. Sight lines are different. It's going to feel more like a practice facility. They're going to do their best to kind of jazz it up and make it at least feel, from an aesthetics point of view, like an NBA game, but it's not going to be that. So I do think that becomes a new variable to account for in terms of who's really going to hit the ground running, because the truth of this is that you got to be good for about 3 weeks. If you're good for 3 weeks, you're into the postseason. You're probably getting into the second round. So it's who can put it together in 20-ish days. And that's a whole lot to put on just kind of a short amount of time.
Talking hoops with Steve Kyler, BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, you referenced Damian Lillard. I think he's one of the most thoughtful players in all of sports. He has said when he gets to Orlando, he's going to read and he's going to work on his music. But he's also expressed some doubts that other players won't be as disciplined as he is. Do you think that's a fair observation?
I think it's an incredibly fair observation. And, you know, just think about it. I mean, I'm not that far removed from being a 20-something. You know, when I was 22, 23, 24, I didn't necessarily care about the things I care about today. I was motivated by things that I'm not necessarily motivated by today. And the fact that these guys are going to be locked down and what's going to feel like very much a controlled thing, you know, how are they going to handle that? And some guys are going to handle it better, the ones that are mature and have bigger goals and aren't going to get caught up in the other things. But this is also going to be organizational, right? Like, which teams can figure out how to use the off time constructively? Which teams have team chemistry where team dinners or maybe golf outings or things like that can kind of satisfy that time between games? And I think that's going to be the big chess match of all of this, is how do you manage the fact that these guys don't get the normal things they're used to, family time, girlfriend time, time away from their teammates. At some point, somebody's going to snap on their teammate. And you think about, like, Draymond Green and that whole Kevin Durant thing. Remember how that just destroyed the chemistry of the Golden State Warriors for almost a month? if that happens in the bubble, how do you diffuse it? So I think all of this is going to be very interesting. But Dame's 100% correct. Some guys are going to come to this like it's a work trip, and we're going to, you know, put our heads down and get it done, and some are going to get caught up in it. And I think the teams that manage that well will be the teams that have the most success.
Steve, given the ongoing national conversation we're all having about equality and social justice, how do you think the NBA is doing this summer with those issues? It's now become a major talking point in the WNBA.
You know, I've always been proud of the NBA on this front, is they've never tried to silence players. I mean, the last player that I think, you know, you think back to, Chris Jackson, Muhammad Abdul-Rauf, it was really the last time, and that was under the David Stern era. And the Adam Silver era, it is speak your mind, even if it's uncomfortable. It's take a stand, even if it's not popular. Say what you're thinking, even if people don't want to hear it. And I think in this relaunch of the NBA, one, you're going to see things you've never thought you'd see. You certainly would never see it in the NFL. You know, players putting equality statements on the back of their jerseys. Maybe more statements needed than what's going to be allowed, but they got to mass produce those things. So there's just things the NBA are doing, and I'm really interested to see what the PSAs feel like and what the statements that players make in the press conferences and the things once games get started, how much they can affect at least change. And change doesn't have to happen with a million people. It can happen one person at a time. And through this, if we can initiate real change, then that's a good thing. And the fact that the NBA and the Players Association have made this particular issue a centerpiece to restarting the NBA is something I'm pretty proud to be around.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, talking hoops with Steve Kyler, BasketballInsiders.com. Giannis in line to win his second straight MVP award, but because we're all trying to figure out how things could play out in the bubble and try to come up with perhaps unforeseen situations, how important do you think depth is going to be in Orlando? Because beyond what Giannis is achieving, are you really buying that he's going to get enough help from guys like Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe?
Depth is going to be huge in this, B. It really is. And one is because you're going to have to account for a mental fatigue factor that is going to build, not get less. The longer you go, the harder this is going to be. Think about this. The players are going to get tested every other day. They're putting a huge Q-tip up their nose every other day for the teams that are going on. I mean, that's in and of itself is a huge mental thing. Then you factor in, you know, just the disconnect from your normal life is another huge mental thing. The mental side of this is going to be huge. And I think the way that you can mitigate some of that, going a little deeper in your bench, having some real veteran role guys who can take some of the pressure off in practice, take some of the pressure off in the downtime. You know, veteran leadership is going to be huge. And I think the teams that have, you know, good quality benches, lots of vets, they're going to need those vets to keep things in perspective, especially when it gets hard. And then, as you mentioned, how many teams are going to be able to come back and be who they were? You think about how good, say, the Lakers were, how good Milwaukee was, or even how good Toronto was starting to be. Can you reinvent that chemistry in a very short period of time? And I think some of the end of the bench guys really play a huge role in that. And I think that's going to be the big differentiator. And then the other part is just, you know, the elephant in the room. What happens if somebody tests positive? You're going to need somebody to replace that guy for at least 10 to 12 days. So depth is going to matter.
Steve, let's move to the young teams in the West. You got Ja Morant leading Memphis, currently the 8th seed. The internet broke the other day when we saw the picture of a yoke Zion Williamson. I know the playoff math. New Orleans 3.5 back of the 8th and final postseason seed. Am I being a fanboy to think that Zion can get it done and New Orleans can sneak into the postseason?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but I'm also going to tell you you're right. Because, look, a healthy Zion, a healthy Jrue Holiday, that roster had been decimated by injury. It was one thing after another all year long that they never really got their full complement of guys together. One, their young guys got to play a lot more minutes, so they're going to be more ready to contribute in this. But when you can get Zion as close to 100% as he's going to be, and I'm going to say maybe 90-ish percent, and his body looks great. I mean, you've seen the pictures of him. You heard the teammates talking about that he's moving well. You know, he's going to be a difference maker, and there are very few teams that can match up with what he does, and especially if he gets in and gets in rhythm quick, I think that's a safe bet. And I think there's a big reason why the numbers lined up in such a way to get New Orleans in. But I'll tell you, I think Phoenix is going to be really good. I think Sacramento has a chance to be sneaky. You mentioned Memphis. They've got a chance to be sneaky. And if you think about this one, too, the Oklahoma City Thunder won 62% of their games before this. Nobody's talking about the Thunder as one of those teams that can sneak up on you. So there's a lot there at the bottom of this that's kind of outside the playoff picture right now. I think those are going to be some of the best games.
Plus, we can guess that Chris Paul will use a burner phone, call that snitch line, and say, hey, guys are venturing out of the bubble. Magically, LeBron can't play when they have a potential postseason matchup. Taking you across the NBA with our friend Steve Kyler, BasketballInsiders.com. Mention the King. LeBron has, if you believe in social media as your guide, been using his time productively. He looks like he's in phenomenal shape, and he's been direct on Instagram saying he's on a mission to win another championship. We know he's going to show up. How much does Anthony Davis have to prove in the bubble, given that he has a limited postseason resume?
I think it's a lot. And look, LeBron doesn't have a whole lot of seasons left to waste, right? Wasted one last year, so this one's important. And you know, the Lakers, and, you know, this has been reported a little bit, and I'm surprised some people haven't really looked into it. The Lakers were doing team organized activities, not team organized by the Lakers, team organized by LeBron. You know, they've been in a gym. They rented a house in L.A., and they were doing kind of two-a-days, even through quarantine. So I don't suspect that it's just going to be LeBron who looks amazing when we start seeing games. I think most of the team is going to look amazing. The reason J.R. Smith was signed, he was part of that group. And I think the sneaky, kind of interesting one was Ben Simmons was with them for a lot of the break. So Ben Simmons looks really good. So a rested, healthy, motivated LeBron, that's exactly what Laker fans want to hear.
Okay, so that's half of the L.A. story. How about the Clippers? And I think casual fans have a hard time wrapping their head around the revamp clips. We mentioned depth. Think about the wave of talent they have beyond Kawhi Leonard, who demonstrated once more last year in Toronto just how terrific he is when it matters the most. Does Paul George have a chance here not only to prove he's not just Scottie Pippen on the Clippers, but demonstrate he's one of the 15 best players in the league?
I would agree with both of those. And, I mean, time helped them. There were some teams that time has really helped. Think about it. Paul George came off two shoulder surgeries, you know, repaired both shoulders, and was never able to kind of put it together on a night-to-night basis. Time helps that. You know, Kawhi Leonard was still dealing with that quad issue. You know, the joke is load management. I mean, he's had the load managed for a good, you know, 4 months now. So those guys coming in fresh, then you start to go, wow, because that team was really good, and it was very rarely all of them together. At one point, it was always somebody was missing from the starting core equation. You know, they're going to come back together, healthy. And this is where I think Doc Rivers and just kind of how the Clippers have gone about this is going to be an X factor, because I think they're going to be one of the teams that comes in with a very workman-like mindset. They're not a team that's got a lot of guys that are easily distracted. I think Kawhi being able to be a focal point is going to help them see purpose in what they're doing and hopefully get the job done. I mean, I'm one of the ones who wants to see the Clippers go as deep as they can, because I want to see how special this team really is.
Steve, always a pleasure. We appreciate the information. Next time we chat, I'll be sensitive about the old label. Can I call you a veteran NBA journalist? Or
sure.
Does that connote you're long
old,
in the tooth
it
as well?
Reminds me how much gray's in the beard. So, yeah, veteran I'm comfortable with.
Okay, I got three words for you. Just for men.
Yeah, I, you know, you've really crossed the line when you go there. Like, that you totally embrace the fact you're old when you reach down for that box.
Steve, I can't help it. If you heard the first 2 hours, all my references are from 1994, so I got to embrace it. Thank you, Steve. Great stuff as always.
Anytime, my friend.
Steve Kyler, BasketballInsiders.com. And I'll be up front when I'm rooting. And I think we've earned this right? Because nothing says a sports fan like a bizarre sense of entitlement. Let's get Zion into the playoffs. It's the NBA. A lot of parallels to the WWE. Undertaker's going to show up. Oh, my God, what's he doing in the bubble? Look, I understand issues of integrity, competitive balance. Nothing wrong with Memphis being the 8th seed. I don't care that much about Phoenix. Although it would be nice to see DeAndre Ayton have the ability to take the next step. But if we're just looking at sports for what it is, especially with no fans in attendance, it is a television show. It is content. Give me the Pelicans versus the Lakers, round one, I don't care where they play it, in a parking lot, long as it's hermetically sealed outside. But after months of waiting, this would be a terrific payoff because I think we should have, and Steve laid it out well as always, diminish expectations for the quality of play early on. Even though most of these guys are not following the Sean Kemp playbook, that old lockout made the Rain Man, Michelin Man fat. These guys took advantage of the time they had, and just about everybody looks great. Jokic, I know he's dealing with the ramifications of testing positive, but he lost a ton of weight. And of course, the internet decided he got too thin. But let's give him the benefit of those seeding games, which we know are a pure money grab to get the number of games necessary to hit the threshold to get paid the local TV money. Let's use that effectively as the preseason. And then it's going to be fascinating to see all of the things that we could not project happen in that bubble. Because guys are going to have terrible nights and can't rely on the crowd to get them going. And as much as I love Giannis, and it would be phenomenal for the NBA, if Giannis wins this summer, we avoid the summer of Giannis next year heading into free agency. Because Milwaukee can make a straightforward claim. You won the ring this year with this supporting cast. Well, stay here. We'll get you more help. How about Boston? With incredible depth. They were a year ahead of schedule a couple seasons ago when they made that unlikely run to the Eastern Conference Finals, minus Kyrie. Philadelphia, I have doubts about them because I believe NBA insiders like Bill Ryder, who always does a great job filling in, and Bill talked about it yesterday, the cohesion issues between Simmons and Embiid, although Simmons looks terrific using the long layoff to get fully rehab. But I think a young team like Philly, if they're struggling, won't have the energy of the crowd to feed off. So if I'm going to go through teams with a legitimate chance to win it all in the East, I think it's a short list. I think it's Boston and Milwaukee. Unless you think this is hoops again, that so many quirky things are going to happen that any rational analysis is just a waste of time. In the West, I'm not buying the Rockets proposition. Another reason why you should believe that LeBron not only has the most individually on the line, he can achieve it in Orlando. West is not nearly as deep nor rugged as it's been in the past. You know about the Warriors falling apart. So Houston has the ability to find the rhythm, but we are well aware of the past postseason failures of James Harden. I think it's L.A. against L.A., and then Boston versus Milwaukee. And you can't lose at that point when you get to the NBA Finals. Clippers / Lakers versus the Freak or the Celtics. And if you just want to go old school, marquee value, LA versus Boston, ratings gold traditionally in the NBA. 1-800-636-8686, the phone number. Twitter, open for business. BW Weber emails, roma@haveatake.com. Coming up in 20 minutes. We'll take you around the NFL with Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports. Get into the details of the Patrick Mahomes contract. Was he too generous with the club? Did he give them the opportunity to have more flexibility than they deserve? Because he could have got a lot more guaranteed money. But straight ahead, a little bit more NBA. We'll open the book of bad ideas. Is there really going to be a loser's bubble in the Windy City? Plus, say it ain't so. The mystery behind Magic Johnson's terrible tweets finally has been solved. Details coming up. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio. 1-800-636-8686. We'll squeeze in another call or two prior to our upcoming NFL conversation with Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports. But because I'm back tomorrow, and spoiler alert, I've got a couple days next week. In general, my preferred method of interaction is Twitter. That is B.W. Weber. If you really want to go in-depth, an email is always an option, but candidly, I can't get through anything longer than a sentence or two because I'm too vain to get glasses, and I can't read this stuff. RomanHaveATake.com. 12 Wood, my pal. I have been a guest on the Woodscopes twice, tweeting, if five guys are effective, going back to the Jay Jaffe conversation, talking baseball in the last hour, saying, let's say, hypothetically, five Yankees were affected, they might shut down all of MLB. If five guys are affected, I'll just go to another burger joint. Signed, Beeks. I'm sure Beeks is working out right now. John at a Burger King. John in New York. Good job today, B. Weber. I'm glad they didn't resort to putting Jim Rome's cardboard cutout on the throne for 2 weeks. War Matt in L.A. calling it daily. I think that is sarcastic. I remember, because the tweets are always very warm, endearing, and kind. First time I filled in on the simulcast, and some of you saw what I looked like, I got, hey, Weber, you look like if somebody left Jim Rome in the microwave too long. I don't even know what that means. But yes, in lieu of Jim's cutout being here, I am keeping the chair warm. Jesse in El Paso. How many halftime shows has James Dolan's band already been booked for inside the bubble? I used to work for Mr. Dolan.
Wash away my troubles.
I called him Jimmy back in the day. Before he had the moment of clarity, I could tell you some James Dolan stories, but I would like to continue to have a career. Finally, Jeff in Green Bay, not a fan. Please just stop talking baseball. It's clear you hate it. Keep fanboying over basketball. Mute yourself or let Little Alvy drops play out for the rest of the show. Thank you.
Step your game up. You know, I keep some private jet.
Was that a question? Yeah.
You asked for it, you got it. In fact,
Let's not get into that yet.
Because I am so magnanimous, I'm going to make that the huge tweet. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guarantee, everyday low prices, along with excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Jeff, if I could spend 10 seconds addressing your tweet. I don't hate baseball. As I self-report, I realize all my references are dated. That's because I started a long time ago as a baseball pregame host. I used to show up in the clubhouse at Candlestick Park and the old Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, combined about 90 times a year. If I wasn't on site, I was in the studio. Because I'm old, the reason I wanted to be a broadcaster was Bob Costas was my role model. Baseball was the most important thing in my life until 1994, when they shut down the damn season and canceled the World Series. So I don't hate baseball. I love baseball. I think, like many things in life, the more affection you have for it, the more you feel compelled to be honest about it. And baseball has a ton of flaws. So no, Jeff, I'm not hate watching baseball. I only have 3 hours filling in for the most acclaimed talk show host in our business. I'm not going to burn a segment because I hate the sport. But I'm not going to sit here with pom-poms and say baseball's done everything right because, in full candor, I can't name more than 3 or 4 things that they've done right. But I'm looking forward to the universal DH. I got no problem with the softball gimmick. And I'll watch baseball because it was my first love. It was the reason I wanted to get into this business. But like everyone else, I have evolved. And if I did 3 hours of baseball, I'd be on satellite radio or a podcast. 1-800-636-8686. Oh, it only gets better. Parody Larry is on the line. Now, Lawrence, you know I give you a wide berth because I enjoy our relationship. Do you have anything resembling a song, or are you going to give me a straight sports take?
Hey, what's up, man? Nice job behind the glass. After listening to that poached egghead behind the glass attempt at Cubs parody, I just had to call in. So listen, Rit, stay in your lane and away from my brand. So since you said something about Michael Jordan, I'm going to give you my Neems reset. Here you go, baby. We've all been watching MJ on TV, who brags he's the best that's ever been. And the teammates he played with were his own rat family. Howard Grant is now a snitch. No Tippin' Pippin was his bitch. How great Papa Jordan felt to be Michael's dad every time Mike got his ass kicked by the Pistons. And how proud he must have been to be Mikey's dad when his son, a Chuck E. Cheese, spit on the pizza, slice after slice.
Oh, wait a minute. We're going to have to go to instant replay. I think Larry hit the post. I don't think there was another stanza there. Like the great ones, he nailed it, effectively was dropping the mic. Alvin, you know I have nothing but respect for you. I think advantage parody Larry. Now, here's how we can find out. In addition to rage texting me about how much I hate baseball, Larry tweet me, BW Weber, tag Alvin. Alvin, what's your Twitter handle? At Alvin DeLauro. I could have guessed that. Although I looked you up, you blocked me for some reason. It made no sense whatsoever. I'm on team parody Larry. I know a craftsman when I can hear it. Sinatra, Tony Bennett, all the greats, because I'm 110 years old. Because he doesn't even need background music. He doesn't need backup singers. This is a man using his voice as a gift to all of us.
Give me back my son.
And now we have another one to add to the archives of what we call the greatest hits of Parody Larry. Alvin, you know I'm always on your side. I think he snuck it in. As I continue to self-gloss, I have worked with Brian Albers. I go old school. The white man. Way back in the day. But yes, if you don't recall the origin of that homage to BYD's dad, Stucknut, Scott, you covered. Follow him on Twitter, my man Stucknut, the unofficial, but nobody is trying to rival him, historian and archivist of this program. Okay, I have a Magic Johnson take. Magic Johnson's Twitter feed. It's gold, but it's going to have to wait until tomorrow. Huh? Stay with us. I know you got to get to the bottom of what's going on Magic's Twitter feed and how he's able to come up with some of the most incredibly insightful observations in the world of social media. That's tomorrow. In our immediate future, we'll take you around the NFL. You heard the monster number. $500 million, but did Patrick Mahomes sign a contract that was too team-friendly in Kansas City? Talking NFL with Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports. But now it's time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman has all the specifics.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
And bro.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle here on CBS Sports Radio. The conversation never stops on Twitter. Hit me up after the program. It's BW Weber. Let's wrap it up with gusto. Take you around the NFL with an always insightful football insider, Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edom. Eric, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to hear your voice again. What's up?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate you hopping aboard today. So let's start with the mega contract Patrick Mahomes is getting from Kansas City. Nothing wrong with being labeled now as the recipient of the biggest contract in all of sports history, but you know, because you do this for a living, if you dig into the details towards the back end of this 10-year deal, it's effectively a series of one-year deals, and the club controls most of those options. So, yes, we know Mahomes is making a lot of money. But overall, do you think the deal is slanted as too team-friendly for the Chiefs?
Yeah, no, I really do see it, especially with the $147 million in injury guarantee up front. You know, that, you know, the signing bonus is small, and you know, the other numbers look a little funny to the eye that we're used to sort of seeing these quarterback deals look like. But I think that that injury number was probably what sealed it for Lee Steinberg and Chris Cabot and his, you know, representation, and for Patrick as well, just to say, look, I mean, that, you know, I'm it's a pretty good burden to hand to have. And they were talking extension. Obviously, the mood in Kansas City is great. You know, it was a perfect timing for the Chiefs, to be honest. Even in a pandemic, I mean, you know, with people questioning what the cap's going to look like, even with all that, they have a superstar player who just won the franchise's first Super Bowl in 50 years. They knew this is as good a time to lock him up, even if the price was going to be technically exorbitant. So, yes, there are some things that make this sort of a team-friendly deal, but, I mean, I think it's great for Patrick, too. And, you know, I don't think anyone really criticized Tom Brady when he took contracts that were, you know, that helped the team out and helped them. You know, if they keep Chris Jones or something, my goodness. I mean, what an offseason it would be for a team that looks pretty darn good and a Super Bowl favorite this year as well.
Good point. And as you know, they got to pay Travis Kelce at some point, yep, as well. Taking you across the NFL with Eric Edelman of Yahoo Sports. Rookies can report as early as 10 days from tomorrow. That'll kick off one of the most unique training camps we've ever seen. Eric, we know the NFL, according to reports, is prepared to knock the preseason down to just a pair of games. Players Association is countering with no preseason whatsoever. What do you think is going to happen? Will we have any exhibition football?
I think, you know, the obvious answer would be to have one game, right, to sort of meet in the middle between 2-0, and you know, that would allow the NFL to kind of showcase the new stadium in Vegas and let Cam Newton play against his old team when the Patriots and Panthers meet. And it would just sort of, I think it would give them an opportunity to, you know, to kind of test the game day operations a little bit too, while also bringing in, you know, some revenue as well, because Lord knows, we don't know what this season's going to look like, what attendance is going to be like. The whole thing is a giant unknown at this point. So I think the league is going to push hard for some preseason action, and I suspect coaches would love to have something in the form of competition against players that aren't themselves. So could I see the union really digging in their heels on this thing and saying, you know, it's zero, or we, you know, we're out of this thing? Sure, but I also think it wouldn't be shocking to see at least one game played. So it's really hard to know what it's going to end up being, but 2-1 or 0, it wouldn't be stunning if it's any of those three numbers.
Eric, you alluded to Cam Newton landing in New England. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, how effective do you think he'll be in a new-look Patriots offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really exciting to think about the possibilities, and if that foot is healed and if the shoulder from a couple years ago is no issue. And, you know, you could almost sort of see in the final couple years when, you know, I mean, like, Josh McDaniels obviously had one of the best assets in the league in Tom Brady, but, you know, you could see when athletic quarterbacks did pretty incredible things against the Patriots, whether it was Deshaun Watson, whether it was Cam Newton, whether it was, you know, Lamar Jackson last year, guys who could run and throw and present so many problems for a defense. I always wondered in the back of their minds if they didn't have the wheels spinning to get a Cam quarterback, Cam-like quarterback, I should say, but to get him at the money they did, it was well worth the risk, right? If he's not healthy, okay, you turn it over to Jarrett Stidham. Not the worst result in the world if you do think he's great. So, you know, he's really a year ahead of where Jimmy Garoppolo was when he first got his starting opportunity. So, you know, it's not as if they're sending a message that Stidham can be bad. But if we see anything like the Cam that we saw the first 8-9 games, whatever it was, of the 2018 season, look, I mean, he was in the MVP discussion. He was completing 68% of his passes with North Turner. He adjusted beautifully to that system. I see no reason to think but they can't meet in the middle and maximize his skills and also keep the core of what the Patriots done offensively.
Focusing on the NFL with our pal Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic and we know what's going on in Florida, Tom Brady keeps on working out, trying to build rapport with his new teammates. You got Brady, you got Gronk. Are you convinced that Tampa Bay will be a playoff team this year?
It's a fascinating debate because, you know, you saw some improvement in their defense last year. Yet there's questions about the offensive line, maybe the run game as well. But you can't overlook what Brady brings to a team. You can't help but wonder what Gronk can add, especially with other tight ends on the roster. They don't have to ask them to play 70 snaps a game and, you know, block like he used to and all those sorts of things. I think he's going to be more used as a receiver than he would be as a blocker, even though he was great at that department. So it's one of these yeah-but type deals because, you know, positive that you see with this team, you can also sort of say, hey, look, they play in a tough division where, you know, the Falcons should be sort of competitive. The Saints have to feel like they're a Super Bowl contender. You know, Carolina Panthers, we don't really know, but they're certainly going to be, you know, a hard coach team by Matt Rhule. I really think that there's a chance, especially with the additional playoff team, but we can't just assume that adding Brady to the mix is going to be instant success. You know, that right from the get-go, especially in this crazy offseason, that he's going to instantly wave his magic wand and transform them into a Super Bowl contender. It's going to take time. They've got to work this thing through, and I don't know that they'll be at their peak early in the year.
Eric Edom of Yahoo Sports is our guest. Bruce Arians told Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio, the Bucs just don't have room for Antonio Brown. That might have been a convenient explanation. So we've seen Brown working out with Lamar Jackson recently with Russell Wilson. He's going to have to sit. He deserves a long league implement a suspension. But if you're looking around the league, Eric, what do you think could be a likely landing spot for Brown?
Yeah, I mean, those two teams, the Seahawks and Ravens, obviously are fascinating because you could conceivably add a receiver to both mixes and say, yeah, this could work, right? We have the pieces around them that could make this whole thing special, right? Josh Gordon was in Seattle last year. He could sort of step into that spot. You know, Baltimore, when Hollywood Brown went down, they really didn't have that dynamic guy to kind of change things. They rely more on their tight ends and backs and that sort of thing. So just from a personnel standpoint, both places make sense. But as you pointed out, you're talking about a lot of baggage. You're talking about a lot of concerns. You're talking about a guy who, you know, nuked his way out of New England, you know, first Oakland, you know, sort of canceled the trade with the Bills before that, the one-game thing in Foxborough. I mean, there's the looming suspension that we assume is coming. You know, there's some unresolved legal issues as well. He's a tinderbox. So that's the biggest concern, and I think it would take a quarterback of stature, Thrive, and here's how I can help the situation. Here's how I can make sure he's going to be accountable as a teammate.
Eric, I have to ask the obligatory Dak Prescott question, looking for a brief answer. Deadline's coming up next week, July 15th. Are the Cowboys going to give him a long-term deal?
I don't know. I really don't. I think the Mahomes deal, separate thing, right? But I still think the timing of that didn't help matters. And you have to wonder if they regret not making a deal, at least Dallas's perspective back in September. So hard to say. It really is. I think they're going to have to come with a big number over what Russell Wilson got on a per-year basis, which is $35 million per year. I mean, right now he may end up playing on the tag.
Eric, great information as always. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes again today on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, good talking to you, Brian. See ya.
Eric Edom, Yahoo Sports. We almost did it. Almost got through an entire national radio show without talking Dak Prescott because we remain on Dak. Watch. But I might hit on it tomorrow or next week. We'll start the countdown to the deadline. I'm on the day before July 15. I believe that's July 14. So we'll get the Dak conversation. As tiresome as it is, he can't lose. Already guaranteed the $31 million. If he gets tagged again next year, north of $37 million, Cowboys would love to get that five-year deal to spread it out in terms of cap manipulation. But Dak is right in this circumstance. And I know the Cowboys now can come back and say, my man, partner, Mahomes just signed a 10-year deal. Just give us a little bit of help here. Only asking 5 years. Dak is smart. Hold out for a 3-year deal. Bet on yourself. Get paid again. Easy for me in the midst of a pandemic to tell someone how to manage their finances. All right. It's time to answer the Ask the Pros question. You, the clone, submitted a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The queen of the ATP. Who else? The one and only Bella B in Calgary.
I love when you talk hockey.
Hi, Brian. What's a TV show, past or present, you'd love to make a cameo on? Also called Stump the Fill-In Host. All right. Trying to be self-deprecating, but we are simulcast on television, and I'm wearing a lot of makeup. And I watched, I think now, every single episode of The Office. And let me give you a hot take. Jim Halpert is the most unlikable character on that show. He's the least authentic. He's devious, and he strung poor Pam along for years, and he broke up an engagement. You know where I'm going. Occasionally, I get a Steve Carell comparison. He's a handsome man. So, yes, if I had to make a cameo, I think I would probably want to be slotted in after Will Ferrell, but before Robert California as the fill-in host slash manager at Dunder Mifflin. And you can tell I have no life. Thanks to our guests, Eric Edholm, Jay Jaffe, Steve Kyler. Great work, as always, by Garrett, Alvin. And I want to thank Jim specifically for letting me sit in. I'll do it again tomorrow, right here on CBS Sports Radio.